p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
Live from our national studios here in Accra and also networking with all our regional FM stations and across the world on gbcghana.com, we say welcome once again to Behind the News, where we'll be exploring the issues from the perspective of the newsmakers and also the experts. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, another protest against the police for arresting a high-ranking politician connected to the controversial William Judgment death. For how long are we going to tolerate demonstrations against state institutions performing their duties? Catholic University College shows red card to student wing of political parties. How will political parties take it? And then, 10 drown in the Volta Lake again. What happened this time around? We'll be giving you details on all this and much more. It's Behind the News, and you are live on Sunrise FM in Koforidua and also on Garden City Radio. Kumasi, as usual, you can get to us with your comments and contributions on 026-441-8767. And we move on to our first story. Reports reaching Behind the News indicate that 10 people, including 4 children, have drowned in the Volta Lake near Sablakopi in the Karachi West district of the Volta region. The incident is reported to have occurred when the 10 were on a journey from Wurutor, a fishing community, to Sablakopi. Joining us on the line to find out about the details is the Divisional Police Commander for Karachi West, Superintendent Kwame Nkrumah Akomia. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Can you tell us precisely what happened?
Yes, around the morning of yesterday, between the hours of 10:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., these people from Sablakopi were going to Old Roto. That is the opposite of what you said. They were from Sablakopi to Old Roto for a joint church. The name of the church is Divine Healing Church. And they picked this small canoe that is normally referred to as a service boat. And, well, as they moved on, we're not too sure how long they stayed on the lake. But then there was a strong wind, according to information that we had, and the boat overturned.
After that, nothing happened again. Did you not get the information whether they were really prepared and had perhaps life jackets and all?
Well, that much, it is clear that when the bodies were retrieved, none of them were wearing, you know, nobody was seen wearing life jackets, and no pieces of life jackets or anything resembling life jackets was found in the immediate vicinity.
Yeah.
So it is clear that nobody was wearing anything of the sort.
With some of the recent occurrences, there's been some awareness creation that people embarking on journeys along the route should be having them. Does that mean they are not taking it seriously at all?
Well, it is common to see that a lot of the people do not wear it. You know, things most of the people have been doing several years through. Sometimes even when you go to mention it, they are going to tell you that this is something we've been doing all the while, and they do not see too much the importance of some of these things. And a lot of these things, you know, some of the accidents, they normally blame it on spiritism and things like that. So a lot of them do not take wearing of these safety gadgets very seriously.
We have been told,
and those, particularly
yeah,
those who take the very small canoes, which are not even meant for passengers.
Yeah. So the information available is indicating that we have some children. Can you tell us the ages?
Yes, the children, one is 13, another is 4 years, one is 1 year, and the youngest, the smallest, is 3 months baby.
Have you managed to retrieve all the bodies?
Yes, all the bodies have been retrieved, and presently they are in the morgue at Karachi.
What have you done to the boat operator? Do you have him?
We do not have him. Information we gather is that he has run away, but we are looking for him. He's also the owner of the canoe.
Does that mean that perhaps he was prepared for any eventuality, so had something that could save him in the event of what occurred?
From where they drowned, well, there was one survivor, also a woman. Anybody who is well-versed in swimming and things of the sort could easily swim ashore, because it was not so far. Because the weather, according to what we heard, the weather was not very good. So they were a little bit cautious, in which case they did not go too deep. They were quite very much along the shoreline. But unfortunately, it turned out that those who were in the boat mostly did not know anything about swimming.
Well, so what are you going to do after this one? Because we have been told that some security should be along the coast when people are traveling.
Yes, they are in place. We have the Navy is very much available, and sometimes they even join the regular boats, you know, which are meant for passenger movement and things like that. But this particular instance, particularly the small one, they refer to as service, you know, sometimes very short distances and that kind of thing. So you would not, the patrol people will not be able to see all those, you know, those ones to deal with them.
It means even though they are patrolling, they still cannot prevent others from getting on the Volta River without having all the necessary gadgets. Is that what you have been told?
Yes, that is very.
But have you still continued with that education, so that at least even community members can be alerting you that there are people flouting the regulations?
Yes. Even if you recall, quite recently, I think some kind of task force, people who have been trained to assist in these issues, are there. They give advice. You know, apart from that too, they are ready to get into the waters in case of any eventualities and that kind of thing. They have been advising them, but since, you know, it's something that is inherent in the people, they have, according to them, they've been doing this, so they take some of these things for granted. However, human nature, when there's an accident like that, you find people becoming cautious of some of these things, but then when time elapses, you find that at the least opportunity, they would want to do their things their own way.
Well, I want to thank you very much for alerting us on this issues, and perhaps we'll be encouraging you to continue with that level of education. I know the Ghana Maritime Authority has been trying to work on that particular issue for some time, but we'll be trying to get in touch too with the other security agencies along the river to see what they are doing. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
That is the Divisional Police Commander for Karachi West, Superintendent Kwame Nkrumah Akomiah. We are trying to make contact with the Ghana Maritime Authority to see exactly what they will continue to do about the incident of disasters on the Volta Lake. It's Behind the News. You are live on Radio BAR and also on Twin City Radio. That's live on Behind the News and across the world. You are getting us on gbcghana.com. Ever since the controversial Wayomi judgment debt issue emerged, there have been different twists and turns on a regular basis. At one point, it was some NDC supporters who protested against the arrest and detention of Alfred Wayomi. Today, some MPP sympathizers massed up at the police headquarters in Accra, demonstrating against what they called unfair treatment of Obi Amwa, the MP for Ebrinsawam and Deputy Minister in the Kufuor administration. We are exploring this issue very soon and looking at the extent to which politicians, perhaps even political supporters, keep interfering with the processes of our security agencies or other mandated state institutions. But for now, I want to find out from the Ghana Maritime Authority what has been happening since they've been undertaking so many education on the Volta Lake. And we have joining us Isaka Peter Azuma, the Chief Executive of the Ghana Maritime Authority. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yes, it's another sad news. 10 people losing their lives on an issue that you've been working on over the period. Does that mean, to an extent, you are not succeeding?
Kingsley, indeed, it is a sad news and an unfortunate one. As a matter of fact, I got the news when I was in Takoradi witnessing the commission of the patrol boats. Indeed, I got in touch with the base, that is the divisional police commander, and we have stationed the naval task force also to enforce safety regulations at the base. It was fortunate that this thing took place. I understand a canoe actually left the place. In fact, the name of the place is the Black Copy to Old Rotor for religious exercise, carrying 12 people. In fact, the operator was the 12th person. And unfortunately, they met a fierce storm. That is, the weather was bad. That is fierce wind, very windy situation. And as a canoe, you expect that it is quite light. The weight is not that much. Displacement would be very low, and therefore, of course, it will list and capsize. That is the situation, and I'm told 10 people lost their lives. It's quite unfortunate. We've been doing a lot, as I did indicate. The Navy is doing the enforcement. We do education. We tell them what to do. We try to certificate them, give them licenses, operators, tell them the rules, the rules of the road, the do's and don'ts. And you also do this very frequently every morning. I remember I've always been warning operators that they should listen to the weather before they embark. But this has happened. It's unfortunately one of those things. We regret the situation, but we continue to intensify and do the best we can that we stem out this.
Mr. Azuma, coming back to you, it appears that there is some enforcement, and I know people will commend that effort, but how much have you ingrained into the people that it is about their own safety? So even if you are not seeing the Navy around, the security agencies around, it is still up to you to warn immediately somebody is embarking on such a journey.
Yes, that's why the education is ongoing. We go around, we even educate them in the local languages. It is just like a taxi driver. You don't need to know how to read and write before you can drive taxi. So they are taught all these things, educated in all these things. But it's human nature. You always find the bad nuts creating troubles. As I did indicate, it's unfortunate. We also have to look at the type of boats that are being used on the lake. It's as I did indicate, government is making efforts. We have put out a number of prototype designs, and we see to it that some of these boats are phased out with time. It is unfortunate that we have them plenty on the lake now. The very safe one, which are the ferries, are rather on the low side. So almost about 60% patronize this one. And because they always easily get full, even when the ferry is there, they want to go with these boats because it's faster. They easily get full and they move. The patience is required. People need to be patient. People need to value their life. People need to heed to advice. So to me, this evening, I'm not a happy man. When I came back and listened to the news, I think it's bad. We've done our best, but human beings are always very recalcitrant. Like it happens in the road, it happens in most of transport. But even if one life is lost, it's a matter of percent. So indeed, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, we tell them to listen to weather reports. It can happen. Assuming that perhaps they are not even getting the information from the national level, how will they know immediately where they are that this is likely to be the situation whilst embarking on a journey?
I tell you, as of now, my officers are at base there. They have the captains and architects. They are there, and we move. You see, the lake is very large. It covers the size, one third of the size of the country. We have over, as you've always been hearing, over 739 villages. It takes a lot of logistics and resources to go all around. But we're doing our best in the circumstances of limited resources that we have. But all that we want to say is that radio gets far. What you need covers nearly. I was far up in my village at Garut and Pani. I heard Unique very clearly. Everybody hears. And these things even go in the local languages. It goes in Chi, it goes in Eber, it goes in English. It is for them to listen to the do's and don'ts, the rules of the road, and go by them. It's unfortunate. Then we should value the life of human beings. And I wish that this operator, the police, try to arrest him. And then some of these people would be used as examples for others to know that it is not good to operate this way.
We want to thank you very much, Mr. Peter Isaka Azuma, the Chief Executive of the Ghana Maritime Authority, and perhaps we'll still step up that level of education for all the people listening to us to continue to live and be able to listen. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Yes, sir. Thank you, too.
It's Behind the News, and you are still live on Radio Upper West. If you are somewhere around the Volta region, you are also getting us on Volta Star Radio, and also you are live on Radio Savannah. We move on to our next issue. As we've just heard, some MPP sympathizers today massed up at the police headquarters in Accra, demonstrating against what they called an unfair treatment of Obi Amwa, the MP for a brain storm and deputy minister in the Kufu administration. The police last night arrested the MP for the role he allegedly played in the contract agreement for the rehabilitation of the Accra Sports Stadium prior to 2008. Behind the News is finding out the latest development on his arrest. But before we get the parties to talk, we have joining us on the line Paul Abrampa-Mensa of CDD Ghana to tell us about the political ramifications of having supporters always invading or trying to pressurize people or organizations mandated to ensure that we keep to the law or do other things in line with the law. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, my brother.
Sir Abrampa-Mensa, are you sometimes surprised when we have parties mobilizing supporters to go and support people who belong to their fold whenever things happen like this?
Yes and no. Yes and no. One, it's unfortunate that issues in the country, security, law enforcement, everything is virtually being turned into a political game. We all agree that security, human security, any kind of security in the country is very important, and therefore we have to always allow the security men to do their job. We at CDD, and in fact many other institutions, have always reinforced the call of strengthening institutions, not to talk of security and law enforcement institutions. So it's sometimes worrying when people are arrested and people mobilize. In some instances, you see traditional authorities, instances you see political parties, instances you see family members mobilizing, not to talk of people in high positions issuing statements and order for people to be released. These are all things that can thwart justice in the system. That said, I also said no because the mode and the manner in which some of our security agencies also operate sometimes also call for that. I don't see why we are in the system that on one hand the security agencies, especially the police, will give money, call on citizens to help them, render information for them to aid their operations. And that same security agencies, when you have the people with them, when they have all other issues, when they have the law by them to invite people peacefully, without creating a scene for people to capitalize on that, to do what is happening, then if the manner is twisted in that way, then we also create unnecessary controversies that allow people to be mobilized.
Are people showing a level of understanding of our politics and the way institutions should operate?
That's what I'm saying. It's both sides. If the institutions are not operating within the limits and the premise of the law, if the institutions, I don't see why if you want a citizen who is not running away, who has not evaded arrest, I don't see why you can't call him or give a simple invitation to him to appear before you for questioning. I don't see why this should create a scene that people will go with arms, people will go in a van, mobile as if we're going to arrest. When it happens that way, then you see you, the institution yourself, you've created a scene. And you allow people to capitalize on that to also do another wrong thing. Even though two wrongs don't make right, but I feel and I believe if our security agents, especially the police, will go by their normal duties, arrest people, invite people, not creating this all hula-baloo, not making it as if they are creating. When it happens, the first thing that happens is that you create enmity between you and the public. People do no more feel comfortable and secure coming, appearing before you. Because you have all the rules behind you. You have the authority to invite people to appear before you for questioning. No two ways about that. So I don't see the need for them to create that thing before people are invited to the stations for questioning. So that's the problem that is creating that. But I also condemn situations and in the manner in which people also do mobilize to go to the stations. So the two sides must have been always respect their ways of operation, and we allow the rules of the game and the institutions to work.
Sabram Paminsa, please hold on for us as we move on to the other line. We have joining us James Ejini Mbwatin, the Deputy Minister of Information. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Can we have a brief about recent developments in relation to the arrest of Obi Amoah?
Well, I'm sure that, I mean, in the wake of a judgment that issued, His Excellency the President had instructed the Economic and Organized Crimes Office to conduct an in-depth investigation. That itself, the NPP had taken a position not to cooperate with the investigation by the Economic and Organized Crimes Office. As you would know, in the light of that, the EOCO had submitted what it calls an interim report, and a number of persons had been cited, following which the Attorney General was asked by His Excellency the President to give him an advice in terms of the way forward. One day after of the report, Mr. Woyome was called in by the police, and as we speak, he's been remanded, given bail, and the matter is pending before the court. At this point, the investigators and the police, it appears, consider Mr. Obi Amoah a worthy suspect. And following which, yesterday they called him in and are looking into the matter. My understanding at this point is that he's been given police inquiry bail. I think that we need to situate this perfectly within our criminal jurisprudence, which is that any suspect or any man for that matter is innocent until proven guilty. I therefore do not understand why any group of people will want to take the law into their own hands. And it's also important to underscore the fact that no one is above the law. All of us are subjects of the law, and the law is no respecter of persons. It is true, you might be an MP and have parliamentary immunity, but that itself is not absolute. I'm not sure that if any MP committed murder, for example, the position of our legislators will be that person cannot be called in by the police for questioning. So parliamentary immunity itself is not absolute. I think that in this whole matter, we've got to leave it for the matter to play itself out as is being handled by the police. Subsequently, when they are done with their investigations, I'm sure they'll bring formal charges against him. He will have his day in court. And as I've indicated, the law presumes every man innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah. Senator, the concern being expressed by people is that others have been mentioned in that same way. And they give quick examples. Betty Mould is mentioned by the NPP quickly. Dr. Tufor is also mentioned. And quickly they say these people have not been arrested. So it appears perhaps Obi Amoah is being used as a ruse to divert attention from the other people. Is that the situation?
The better question to ask is whether or not Obi Amoah, Honorable Obi Amoah, had been or was instrumental in this whole judgment debt issue in terms of the genesis and how it started. The other question is whether or not he played any role. The answer, I do believe, is yes. I'm not sure that at this point anybody has been excluded or precluded. In any case, Mr. Woyome himself had been kept in police detention for some time before being formally charged, processed for court, granted bail. It's been a while. I do not know at this point what investigators know. I think that we should leave this entirely in the hands of the handlers of our criminal proceedings and the courts and let it play itself out.
Yes.
But it's important to say that nobody is precluded at this point. Nobody is going to be kept out if the facts on the ground suggest that person has played a crucial role. Let's leave this entirely in the hands of those who have to do this.
Ideally, those who know the law very well and the workings of the security agencies will say, let it happen, let the lawyers have their chance, and those perhaps even accused have their day in court. And yet we are beginning to see a trend where if it matters and it's a political person, and we give examples, even in the case of former President Rawlings' accusation of causing fire and all, people massing up. Where is the trend heading? Does that mean people are not seeing clearly?
You see, in the wake of this judgment debt issue, President Mills had been guided by one thing and one thing only. How do we get to the bottom of this issue? How do we protect the taxpayers' money? And if anybody has gone afoul of the law or abused his office, we need to bring that person before the courts of law. So that has been the main thing guiding the president. And you notice that the president has said all throughout that it doesn't matter who is involved in this. He thinks that he will let the law take its course. I mean, when this happened, you heard the NPP people themselves say, yes, the government needs to make a lot more arrests. The government needs to make a lot more arrests. With the greatest of respect, Kingsley, you are not and we're not a party to that. There is no way that anybody is going to come to your studio and pick you up because others are calling for some more arrest. The only people in this matter who can be arrested or who can be called in for questioning are the parties to this transaction. There are people who played a role or know anything about this. And I think that at this point, the investigators and those in charge of our criminal proceedings consider Mr. Obi Amoah as a worthy suspect at the very least. I find it totally disgusting. As a very group of people who are calling for some more arrests in this matter are the ones beginning to protest merely because one of their own, who played an instrumental role by all accounts, has been called in for questioning. I mean, we need to be principled. We need to believe in the rule of law and not cheap partisan politics.
Well, thank you, but hold on. We'll come back to you for a brief comment as we go back to Mr. Paul Abrampa and Mensa on the line. We've spoken about political maturity, at least it's coming out of the discussions, that this is what people need to see that institutions should be allowed to work. Does that mean that perhaps the education about all these maturity is also not going down well?
Well, yes and no. As I said from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
We are over politicizing issues in the country, and I think that needs to stop. Not only at this time. When I'm speaking about this, we're talking about generality as the beginning in the Fourth Republic, the account of people supporting their own as and when one is arrested or is implicated in an issue. It needs to stop. I mean, if we want to build a country, we need to first build institutions and allow institutions of state to work on their own. As I also said, it's also an advice to our institutions, especially the security agencies, who always call for citizen support in doing their job, volunteering information and others, to also sometimes do not work in a manner as to create a scene to call for some of these things. I don't see why you need information, people need to be questioned, and we don't use a way that will not create some of these things. So I think everybody under the sun it can help the security agencies, whether you are implicated directly or not, as a witness in a case. And so we need both sides. I mean, the institutions need to work in such a way that things will be orderly and the people will support their efforts.
Yes.
Of course.
Mr. Abraham Paminsa, yes.
Adhere to the principle and allow institutions to work.
Yes, a quick one. Some say it's the media because we create a hype over the issues and tell people where they are and then quickly they mass up. Do you think the media should even stop mentioning it quickly and then people following up?
At all. Let me tell you something. It's not when people start blaming the media, yes, they have their wrong side, but in issues like that, when people start blaming the media and we try to clamp down on the media to stop giving us information on these things, people will be arrested, people will be arrested to places that we might not even be aware. I don't blame the media. All right. We blame ourselves, we blame the people, politicians, who over-politicize issues, and we also blame the institutions themselves in the way they go about their duties.
Okay.
Honorable Betimos wrote to the security agency that she's ever ready to cooperate and help with investigations. Honorable Safumafu did the same thing. OB did the same thing. I think many other people have done the same thing. So I don't see anything wrong that if you need somebody, you should amass all your resources, beseech somebody's help. And when you do that way, and anybody passing by might think there's something going on, and that will start the thing.
Okay.
So I plead with our security agencies to always go, as Honorable James said, tell people not until it's proven at a court that it's guilty. It's not guilty. It's a witness. So let's treat people with a certain manner that a sin is not created always.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Paul Abraham Paminsa of CDD Ghana. He's a program officer there. Thank you so much.
Sajini Mbati,
a quick one about the media and handling some of these issues.
Seriously, I didn't quite get the question, please.
I'm talking about the media, and you just said, Mr. Paul Abraham Paminsa, that if the media keeps quiet, it means perhaps even some people's rights can be infringed on without others getting to know. To what extent can the media carry such information?
Well, I think that the media ordinarily is a reflection of what goes on in our society. But again, it's also important that, we practitioners in the media will be circumspect in the way sometimes they carry certain items. I think that, I would not agree with anybody who thinks that if legislators, will be paid by the taxpayer to frame our laws, what is it that will make legislators also think that they are above the very laws that they formulate? I think, again, I find it unthinkable to accept that we have legislators who would believe that they can frame the laws and yet they will be above the law, there will be no respecter of the law. All of us as Ghanaians and within this republic are not above the law, and we should let the law take its rightful course. After all, in a worst case scenario, what will happen is that the state will have to prefer formal charges, take a person to court, and prove all the ingredients of the charges that is brought against an individual. And that's why our criminal jurisprudence takes a position that a person is innocent until proven guilty. So that if the state is unable to discharge that burden of proving the guilt of a person in any such matter, the court of law will set that man or woman free.
Mr. Jenim Watin, we wanted to release you, but we'll please ask you to hold on for a moment. We now have on the line Nana Kumia, the Communications Director of the NPP. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, the NPP is expressing some concern about the arrest of Obi Amwa. Can you tell us precisely why you are not so happy?
Well, the arrest of Obi Amwa is just a sham. The government is trying desperately to cover up for the gargantuan loss of monies that they have paid to Mr. Woyome. They themselves have admitted that they have been defrauded by Mr. Woyome. That's the government's own admission. And because of that, they are prosecuting Mr. Woyome. Because of the public outcry and the negligence that has led to this loss, the government is trying very hard to force other parties into the deal. And it's not going to wash. You look at the arrest of Mr. Obi Amwa at 8 p.m. in the night. Why would you go and arrest somebody at 8 p.m. in the night? Even Mr. Woyome wasn't arrested at 8 p.m. what are you going to ask him that couldn't wait for a more godly hour? Now look at the charges against him. They said he's caused financial loss to the state, that he asked Waterville to go and ask work when the contract had not been signed. What has Waterville got to do with Woyome? Mr. Woyome himself and the government itself, they said that Mr. Woyome had no contract. So the Obiamwa, what has he done wrong as far as Woyome is concerned? When you the government yourself, you say that Mr. Woyome came by fraud. He has no contract.
Nanakumia, the concern is...
What has Waterville got to do with Woyome?
Nanakumia, please let me come in here.
Let me finish. You said that he gave a contract to... he asked Waterville to go on site when there was no contract. There was an MOU that had been signed with Waterville. To save time, he asked them to go on site and start working. As we speak, the gas project, which is being undertaken now, Sino Hydro, the contractors, they are on site, even though the agreements have all not been ratified. But to save time, they are on site. So in that case, the ministers of energy and the people in charge of the gas project should also be arrested.
You are relating something, but let me draw
corruption.
Let me draw your attention to something. Nanakumia, please let me come in. Yes, I'll allow you to respond. Yes. The concern is that Mr. Obiamwa himself has said he's prepared to work with the police so that they get to the logical conclusions in this particular issue. So don't you think it's getting there? It's also part of it.
If somebody has said that he's prepared to work with you, then you go and arrest him at 8 p.m. What is that for? Now, they say that he's also been charged on corruption because he had received some money from Mr. Woyome. Did he receive money from Mr. Woyome to influence the payment to Mr. Woyome? The payments to Mr. Woyome was conducted solely by the NDC government. Nobody in the NPP had a hand in the payments to Mr. Woyome. Now, do we know why Mr. Woyome gave him the money? Mr. Woyome gave him the money so he can buy land for him at Ebri, so that he and Mr. Woyome could undertake his own project. And as we speak, the project is being done by Mr. Woyome. So why would you go and arrest somebody in the night, when you can easily invite him and he'll supply you with all of this assistance?
Yeah. Perhaps it might be a very genuine concern. Nanakumia, it might be a very genuine concern, but we heard from CDD Ghana program officer not long ago that sometimes some of these processes, even if you read politics into it, institutions must be allowed to work so that at the real time, some of these issues are brought out very well. But we see now a trend emerging where when a party activist is arrested, then it means people should mass up. Do you see this as a healthy development for this democracy?
The institutions are not working properly. You think if Mr. Obiamwa had been invited to the police station this morning, there would have been any trouble? They invited Safu Mafu to come to the police station 2 weeks ago. He was going to the police station, no trouble. Then they themselves called him that, they were sorry, they didn't need him again, and the man returned. No trouble at all. If this morning they had called Mr. Obiamwa and said, please, we need you at our station, can you come and assist us? The man would have happily gone there. You go and arrest him at 8 p.m. from his home. What is this? And what did you have for him? He had given us people to go onto the site, and that he had received money from Woyome.
Well, as we've heard from...
Of the payment to Woyome.
As we've heard from Mr. Jenny Mwatin...
People who are part of the payment to Woyome, the Finance Ministry, the Attorney General's Department, the Comptroller and Accountant, the Bank of Ghana, despite the President, we have been told twice stopping the payment. The people who still process the payment, they are working free.
So will you advise perhaps party supporters that with some of these processes, at least... the courts are also there to intervene, and lawyers are there to also do their work, judges are there to do their work. Can they head towards the court instead of massing up?
My brother, if the state institutions do their work with this kind of attitude, like the CID just did, the citizens would not have confidence in them, and you would always have this kind of reaction. I'm saying to you that if they had invited Mr. Obiamwa the normal way, nobody would have raised any eyebrow. He would have gone there happily and them every information they needed.
Well, we'll leave you here for now, but we want to thank you very much for your time, Nanakumia.
Thank you.
That's the communication director of the NPP. Mr. Yenimbwati, sorry to have held you on the line. This is the trend. Does that mean that perhaps the two parties or all necessary parties should be getting together to ensure that for whatever happens, our institutions are given that space?
Kinsley, let me do a quick reaction to the comment made by Nana Akumia. I know that lawyers are trained to defend people who fall afoul of the law. And part of a lawyer's defense to any case is to also go and show that the charges themselves are unfounded, without basis, and maybe, to borrow Nana Akumia's words, that it's a sham. I mean, so if it is a sham or it's a facade, I think that it's a very simple thing. And you see, this debate cannot be closed on radio, because the court, after all, will not be trying this matter on radio, or will not be basing the determination of this case on what we say on radio. I think that those who claim that, I mean, it's a sham, it's a facade, there's no question for him to answer, they should just wait so that when this matter goes to court, the lawyer will go and make a similar intervention or same advocacy, and let's see if that sets him free. If that sets him free, that's it. I mean, it's no use spending a lot of your precious time doing this on radio. I mean, this is a matter that is pending, and it will be
sorted out in court.
It will be completely out of place on my part as a trained lawyer discussing a matter which obviously is going to pend or pending.
But talking about the bigger political ramifications, are you going to look at how perhaps leadership of the parties can also work together and allow the institutions to work?
Well, you have seen Mr. Woyome, even though he made substantial donations to people in the NPP, donated cars and all of that to them. Mr. Kojo Mpieni, who was the chief of staff in President Kufuor's administration, claimed that he made substantial donations to them, which was received by his treasurer when he was with them. They have consistently said that, oh, he's NDC, he's NDC. Yeah. But Mr. Woyome from the NDC stopped himself, was called in by the police for questioning. I think that this matter should just be left in the hands of the police and the courts for it to play out. And political party leaders ought to be responsible, I mean, by also calling on their supporters to be adherent of the law. We cannot claim to be consummate Democrats and yet want a situation where we will not be under the law.
Mr. James Ejinimbwati, thank you very much for your time this evening on Behind the News, and have a good night.
Thank you.
That's the Deputy Minister of Information. Some of your test here is still Behind the News. Amwak Jacob from the KNUST saying, what is the MPP saying? I can't believe it. Are they special than anybody in Ghana? Mr. President, more action. God is behind you. And Billy from Kumasi saying, when will the MPP leave the police to do their work? They should remember that when gold rusts, what will happen to iron? Said they will visit the police station more than this, and they should be prepared. That is Billy. And GNTK Obotai Gabriel, GIJ, it is rather unfortunate to hear the death through the accident on the Volta Lake. Members of those communities must be engaged more in sensitization programs. And Dixon Desire Laura, is President Mills and the NDC interested in finding those who initiated the stadium contract, or is interested in those who paid the gargantuan sum of money to Mr. Woyome upon ordering the Minister of Finance and AG not to pay the money? You can still send yours on 026-441-8767. 026-441-8767. Behind the News. We'll be back. A key in their membership drive. Perhaps this might have informed the political parties to organize student wings at various tertiary institutions. Over the weekend, the vice chancellor of one tertiary institution warned that student wings of political parties are not welcome on his campus. What informed this decision taken by the authorities of the Catholic University College of Ghana? Professor James Hopkins Ephraim is the vice chancellor, and we are glad he's joining us on the line to tell us much more. Good evening, sir. Hello, Professor James Hopkins. I guess we are having a little challenge on the line with Professor Hopkins' number. But let's see if we can quickly get Abu Fogo, a national organizer of the CPP and also a former NUCS president, on the line to tell us exactly why they think there should be mobilization from that level. Good evening, Abu Fogo.
Yes, good evening. Good evening.
Do you agree with Professor James Hopkins Stearns that there should be no party politics? And in fact, this is not the first time we are hearing this. We've heard it from another university campus.
Yeah, well, for me, that statement is very, very unfortunate, in the sense that if you listen to men of wisdom who say that the wise who refuse to be part of governance will be ruled by fools, it also goes to say that the faithful who refuse to be part of governance will be ruled by evil-minded people. So for an institution which is religiously oriented to sort of say that students there or undergraduates there should not have anything to do with politics on campus, I find it very, very unfortunate. I know of a similar institution like the Central University where even their student leadership, they run them on political grounds. When I say political grounds, they don't go by our names, but they just form their own political parties, okay, then contest among each other. Then the political party that wins, they come up with the other executives, just like we run the executive system. In this case, it means that they are preparing so that when they come out and they are given positions in government, they are able to perform very, very well. So I do not actually agree with that particular statement.
Yes, but Abu, you know, there can be some reasons why Professor James Hopkins and the university decided on that. But we'll come back to you to see exactly how best such a situation can be handled. I have the indication that Professor James Hopkins Ephraim has rejoined us on the line. Good evening, sir. We lost you earlier.
Yeah, good evening.
Yes. But what informed the decision to ban students' wings of political parties for the Catholic University College?
The decision is really to bring what you call cohesion in the student body. We're looking at what is happening in our society, looking at the way the political dispensation is going on. We discovered that all kinds of clubs that have divisive tendencies tend to front. So it was a decision of the university to not only make it uncomfortable, but also to avoid the formation of tribal groupings. For example, groupings like Northern Society, Fanti Union, Ashanti Union, Ezra Union, they are all not allowed on our campus. Rather, we encourage societies like French Society, the environment, public health, and all these subject-oriented societies on campus, and they all work under the umbrella of the Student Representative Council.
Yeah.
So if you bring in these political party-based organizations, you discover that they will be wielding or tapping their powers from political parties outside the university domain, and it disrupts the functioning of the university.
Yes. Prof, please let me come in here, Prof. You get to continue. The argument being made by others who perhaps are not in agreement with the decision is that the 1992 Constitution talks about freedom of association, and in the school, they should be allowed, the Constitution should be allowed to work. Did you come to any agreement with them that this is it? This is the reason why perhaps the university authorities would not like such institutions or clubs to exist. So don't do it here.
My brother, if you go to the 92 Constitution, the 92 Constitution allows for freedom of expression. You can have people who decide to walk around naked, and because they are free, it is their choice. But as an institution, we have rules and regulations. And we will very much like that students who subscribe to the regulations of the university behave in a certain manner. We are not infringing on people's right to form associations. Not at all. It will not be constitutional. But as you rightly know, we want to make sure that the university cohesion is also protected. The university is not open to certain external forces that will bring about governance on the university campus a problem. So you discover that these are mechanisms instituted in the university primarily to keep the structure of the university, it's keep its sanctity.
Yeah. Have you had a few challenges in the past?
Let me give you an example.
Yes.
When I was a student in the University of Choice, Cape Coast, we were very active in the NUMS and the SRC. If you now, these days, young people are talking about national service. We students of Ghana, we brought national service under the NUMS. But we were not aligned to any political party. You see, so we are requesting that students of today come together under the student body and then address issues that will bring students together and then contribute to national development.
Yes.
However, if there is a need for these new beginnings or new political party formations coming, we are encouraging them to go to the area in which the university is situated, as the youth wing of this party, and enhance the party. And my brother, I do not think that this provision can be considered as an infringement on their rights.
You spoke about the University of Choice, and some are also talking about University of Greats, perhaps the University of Ghana,
well,
if we have
yes,
to.
I went to the University of Choice.
Yes.
I'm talking about mine.
Yeah, but the other concern is that perhaps you could have used the Catholic University College to give a perfect example of what can exist even with the organizations existing on campus. Could it have been done?
My brother, I will tell you something, if you have time. Do you have time?
A little. Perhaps you can spend 1 minute on it.
The Students' Representative Council are allowed to do student politics on campus to elect their own leaders. Because of the absence of the political parties very much on our campus, you discover that our SRC elections are done very modestly, with very little or no influence from forces from without. We want to keep the university community a self-contained university community where even those who aspire to be politicians will have an opportunity to do their practicals in the community in which the university is situated. And I do not think if you want to practice as a politician and the proposal is to go into the community and practice this politics which involve all kinds of people, including laborers who don't go to school and whatnot. You get a proper spectrum of a society.
Yes.
My brother, I don't think that goes against
any rules,
right to practice.
Okay.
This is what we're trying to say.
Prof, because of our time, we want to leave you. I want to thank you very much for explaining
really
this stance.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to clarify the issue.
We thank you so much.
We don't have political parties in our university, so please get to that. It's not that we want to prevent them, but we want to tell them what they can take it to.
Okay. Professor James Hopkins Ephraim is the Vice Chancellor of the Catholic University College, Ghana. And let me come back to you, Abu Fogo. You've heard the prof explain exactly their stance. They are not against the parties, but they want you to get into the real lab and do the practice, but come back to school and do the other things.
Yeah. Well, the whole political system has two faces. You have a face that deals with the elite class, and you have the other face that also adds up the illiterate class. So for me, if you learn that of the elite class in the universities, and if anything at all, if any institution would speak of this, I don't expect it to come from a private tertiary institution, because You have all walks of life attending this university. You can even have a member of parliament who is also maybe enrolled in the school, in the university, doing another course. You cannot disassociate politics with the mainstream education or tertiary education. I think that you have the opportunity to blend both things, and you learn from others. You have the opportunity to get the views of other people, and not all those who want to be active in politics, but those who, one way or the other, are just critics. You know, some of them, civil society, they work behind the scenes. In the tertiary institution, when you are involved in the student politics, you have the opportunity to learn from such people. Then when you can blend them well.
Okay.
I can speak to you. I am a former president of NUCS. Yeah, former NUCS president. I learned a lot during my student politics. And when I came out to do it, realizing that, no, I needed the other side, I had to go back to the grassroots.
Yeah, okay.
So then I finally combined the two, and today I'm serving the CPP as the national organizer.
We want to thank you very much. Alicia, you're saying it well, but the encouragement is going that all those who find themselves in such groupings should also show so much maturity. Thank you so much, Abu Fogo, national organizer, CPP, and also a former NUCS president, as he just mentioned. A quick test before we go. Our politicians should concentrate on what they can do to make Ghana a better place for us to live and forget about political affiliations. Isahaku Munkaila from Wale Wale. And this one is saying, why didn't the Constitutional Review Committee review the section of the law that gives the lawmakers immunity? They are also subjects of the law, and regardless of their political divide. Daniel Adu sent that one from Yukon's Accra. And that is where we wrap it all up for today. Gifty Bushi Broom sat at the controls for us on behalf of my production team of Chris Siedu and Bryce Agama. My name is Kingsley of Interest.